Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there? Can you believe it's 51 degrees? Hey, maybe a little warmer now, but when I came in, it was like 51 degrees. I cannot believe we're having this type of weather the third week of February, and we live in Ohio. Oh my, so it is what it is. I'm kind of glad to get out of those really heavy coats. I'm sure you are too, but once again, you are here with me live on www.wwgh1071.com. You're also live with me on the TuneIn app. And if you don't have that TuneIn app, and if you know some friends that may want to download that TuneIn app, that they can on any electronic device. And once they download it, please put in your search bar WWGH. I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944 if you just want to be a part of our show today, and we will welcome you. Or if you have any questions, just give us a call, 740-383-9944. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And those of you who are faithful listeners and supporters, thank you so much, so very, very much for your love and for your support. It has been continually, and I thank you so much. Okay, along with you all is Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-382-8552, and logoschristianministries.com. We have Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries. And don't forget to pray for your friends, your neighbors, your family members, our city, our government, and our nation. And don't forget to pray for one another. Okay. Moving right along, I have a thought for today, and that thought is titled, hold on one second, I was searching the web in my Facebook page. Oh, here we go. Thought for today is titled, what is going on with my doohickey here? Come back. Okay. Thought for today. Being with myself. I thought this was very good for today. Being enlightened means being self-aware. Awareness of yourself means you don't miss anything inside. You are aware of things like the quality of your thoughts and feelings, of how you sometimes give your power to others, and how your self-esteem occasionally fluctuates. You don't miss anything because you know that knowing yourself is vital to being comfortable with yourself. Are you comfortable with yourself? No. Then be with yourself. Talk to yourself. Listen to yourself today. Take a few moments out and have a meeting with yourself. Put yourself in your diary. Put yourself at the top of your to-do list. And right next to it, being with myself. I love this thought for today. And I remember Michael Jackson with the song, The Man in the Mirror. And I think that was my first time really looking at myself and taking inventory of who I am. And that is so important. You are the most important person in the world. And it matters where you are and what you're doing with your life. So hopefully you can take something for that thought for today. And grow, right? I give you these things to grow. And I take it to my heart so I can grow. Please don't forget the homeless shelter, which is located at 326 West Fairground Street in Marion. They have needs all the time. Their telephone number is 740-387-4550. Okay, I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today. I'm very excited. Haven't seen him in a while. We'll want to talk to him and see how he's doing. We have James Walker today. He is associated with Regional Planning. How you doing today, James?
I'm doing great. This is I'm thrilled that you invited me to come back and talk to you, and I really enjoyed it. It's been a year now, but I really enjoyed the last time I was able to be in with you, and I'm just excited to be able to share whatever's on both our minds.
Amen. I'm so glad you could come too. It's like, I meant to call you like Monday.
Oh, I know how that is. You ever type a text message and right. then wonder why the person hasn't responded and you realize you forgot to hit send?
Right. Yes. Am I the only one? I guess
no,
not.
No, no. I guess, you know, I can offer some affirmation there.
Oh, so what you been doing lately?
Oh, my gosh. It's been quite the whirlwind. So after winning the Strongest Town contest.
Yes, which you so bravely done.
Oh, that was just... it's so encouraging to see how people just came from all over, from all walks of life,
right.
to just share their own stories and experiences of what growing up and living and working in this town has been like, and just a pause and take inventory of you know how far we've come over the past several decades,
right? Right.
And to just you know look at that and look at what we have figured out and what we have accomplished, and to say, you know what, that's enough to give us hope for the future. Enough
Amen.
To and to have and not only that, but to have people from outside the city, outside of the state, and sometimes even out of the country, mm-hmm. who are all interested in these same kinds of ideas and concepts of what makes a great place, what makes a vibrant community. Look at what we're doing and look at our stories and say, "Yes, you're on the right track. We affirm you." Like that, you know. Like if it's, you know, when you're working in your own little world so often, you kind of got to wonder, like, okay, am I on the right track or am I just crazy?
Right.
But having those people from the outside looking in affirm what you're doing. And it was thousands of votes. We went to, back in June, the Strong Towns National Gathering. Mm-hmm. Last year it was in Providence, Rhode Island. This year it's going to be in Arkansas, Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Not so it's
to be...
an ongoing thing.
Yes, it is. And actually they are about to start the 2026 Strongest Town contest, and they're going to change it up, make it even bigger. And they asked people from around here to, you know, give advice to the communities competing this year on how to publicize, how to get the word out, how to tell their stories. And I think that's what it's all about, because I know, you know, as special as Marion is,
yeah.
and as hard as we've had to struggle, we're not the only ones.
I'm sure.
And I just wish people would just take inventory of where they're at and appreciate what they have and fight for something good for where they have and not just give up on whatever community they're a part of.
That's so true, so true. And you were here last, still working on that Strongest Town. And
yeah.
What did that really feel like to you, being heading that on and actually winning?
Unreal. I mean, it was a dream come true. Like, it's beyond explanation. It's beyond even just common understanding. Like just to be able to come home. And to be able to just hit the ground running, engaging in my community to find, you know, the perfect job to fit where I belong, and then to be able to take that to showcase mm-hmm. my hometown on a global stage, to the point where so many people. Say, you know what? Yeah, you are the Strongest Town. Like, you are doing the things that mm-hmm. that other places just haven't gotten around to yet.
Right.
You know, like, we ran out of the option of throwing money at our problems a long time ago.
Of course.
You know, like, people, right. everyone's talking about money crises these days. I'm like, that's nothing new. We haven't had money to throw at our problems for a long time. We've had to, like, figure out how to you know, rub two nickels together.
Yes, yes.
How to stretch a dollar.
Absolutely, yeah. It's, you know, been a struggle.
Just, it has, but we've learned so much through it. We've learned how to adapt, and just we've developed our own unique kind of ecosystem to address a lot of the issues that we have. And not only
right.
that, but some of the unique solutions that we have been able to be exported to other places. Like,
yes.
I think of you know, out near your neighborhood at Marion Matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're one of the few. Getting ahead programs that does not receive local, or had not received. I'm not sure if they're receiving it now, but it had not been receiving, you know, local dollars to tax dollars to run the program.
Right, right.
But they've been so successful in their nonprofit campaigns,
mm-hmm.
and getting funding through other partners, and developing programs that uniquely fit our population, our workforce, our right. demographic needs, that now they've Marion Matters has also become Morrow Matters and Crawford Matters into Morrow and Crawford County.
It's evolving. Yes.
It really is. It really is. And just, you know, if you're looking for affirmation that we're on the right track, there's another perfect example.
Right, right. That's good, though.
It really is.
That's great. You know, and I was so proud of our city and you and your tenacity driving us forward for that, you know. And a lot of people thought, oh, we're not going to win that. You know, all that negativity, but we won.
I thought, you know, in the beginning, I thought I was crazy, too, you know.
You did.
You know, but and I remember, you know, the first time kind of meeting with someone who was just like, I think we're going to win it. I think we're going to, like, don't say it. You're going to jinx it, you know. But
not yet.
And when we did, right? I gave him credit. I was like, hey, you were the first to call it. Until I was going through, you know, some old Marion Star articles that we had in the office.
Right.
And there is one there about Kenny Spafford. He didn't write it, but it was written with his quotes involved. And the author was saying, Kenny is right. Marion can be the best city in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was back in the 90s.
Really?
Mm-hmm. This was a while ago that this article was written.
Okay.
And I look at, I reread that, and I'm like, okay, you know what? You weren't the first person to call it. Kenny Spafford was the first person to call it.
Wow. Say way back then, right?
And it takes that kind of vision.
Yes.
To see what is not yet, you know, visible in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it takes sometimes pausing and reflecting on how far you've come. When you're working in the daily grind, it's hard to see the progress until you take a moment. You know, and you see that, you know, it reflected in biblical themes in the feasting right. and fasting times in Israel and in the holidays we have in the modern church, just
yes.
to like take pause and take inventory of what God has done. And, you know, I think this contest kind of served as that for our community to pause, take inventory, and then to springboard forward
right.
to say, you know, like you watch the documentary, they asked Natalie over at Marion Matters,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's next? What are you going to do next? And it's like, well, we're just going to keep on doing. Like we're going.
We're doing.
Like
right?
like hey, this is affirming. Like we're on the right track. We got to
right.
you know everything we're doing. We got to double down on it.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing other people realize that these efforts are going on, and more people kind of come on board with whatever it may be
mm-hmm.
that they are interested in or find themselves gifted for
right.
or just, you know, want to help out with.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, serving meals at the Celebrate Recovery or whether it's helping slap together peanut butter jelly sandwiches over at Amy Orr Parker's house and
mm-hmm.
For the peanut butter jelly truck. Or if it's you know, going to these Marion Matters classes to get themselves ahead or help others get ahead. You know, just there's a million ways to get involved. And, you know, like we were talking earlier, there's so many things that you can do, but there's only so many things that you should be doing.
That you should be doing.
And if everyone just kind of looks, I mean, even if it's just your own front yard, you know.
Amen.
Even if it's just your own sidewalk, your own, you know, or your own next door neighbor helping them out. Like, if everyone does just the teeniest little bit, it makes such a huge difference. We're starting to see, finally, some of those positive feedback loops really get going.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's something to feel good about, and it should help strengthen, I feel, each and every one of us as participants and people who live in this community. Having to be honored in such a way as being the strongest town. Because like you said, now we've come a long way.
Right.
We had many challenges to overcome. And the drugs was one of them, you know.
Sure.
And many people lost their loved ones, their children and grandchildren. And that was not an easy thing to go through.
Right.
That was terrible. It was a horrific thing to go through. But our community came together to target these problems.
Right. When we used to just kind of like any other place, try to sweep them under the rugs,
or
say, "Well, that's their problem."
Right,
you know,
we didn't do that.
Right. Well, we used to.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of conscious effort to say, "Hey, you know, like, yeah, there might be, you might throw some moral whatever at it, but addiction is a disease, and it's epidemic in our community.
Right.
It's epidemic in every community, but we're just, you know, got to the point where we couldn't sweep it under the rug anymore. Mm-hmm. And we're going to confront it, and we're going to support those who are trying to get themselves cleaned up, who are trying, you know, who are, you know, it. Sometimes it is so hard to do the next right step, but if you have just even the smallest level of support,
right,
you know, if living in a supportive community, I've met people who have come from out of state to Marion, Ohio, because someone told them, you can get clean and sober here. There's safe places to live.
Okay.
There's programs to help you. There's therapies. There's groups. There's housing. Come to Marion, and you can get sober.
Isn't that something? Wow. I mean, that's a great thing as well. All the counseling centers that we have, mm-hmm. you know, that has evolved from this crisis that we had, which is no longer a crisis.
Right. I mean, well, it's still an issue.
It's an issue. Yeah.
It's still. I don't want to be like, yay, we, you know, it's all in the past. You know.
Oh no.
But we learned,
yes,
and
we
through grassroots again, just every individual mm-hmm. saying, what can I do? What can we do? I mean, it wasn't like any level of government from city up to the federal came in and said, here's the solution to your problems, you know, and here's millions of dollars to do it with. It was just individuals saying, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that.
Right.
And I'll bet, you know, 95% of the things that people tried failed, but that 5% that didn't gathered the momentum and became bigger and evolved organically to serve the unique needs of our population.
Right. Right. And, you know, the people that had the negativity, I don't think they looked at the growth and where the growth was really projected in or at, you know, the circumstances that made us overcomers and made us qualify for the strongest town.
Right.
They didn't look at that. The things that they look at is still need to be fixed.
Yeah.
Well, what about this and what about that? Well.
Right. And I don't want to invalidate.
Right.
That.
Right.
It's so true. Like, I get it. Like, if you're looking out your front window every day and you're still seeing, you know, dilapidated housing and dangerous streets and crime happening out your window, like, it's, you know, of course you're going to say, I don't see it.
Right, I don't see it. How do we get that title? Well.
Right, well, you know, and it's a work in progress. We're going
to
get
it
there.
Is.
You know, and I'm sure if we solve, you know, if we solve a couple problems, another one will pop up that we didn't think of.
Of course.
No, but that's, you know, that's, the work will never be done.
No. After all, we live in a fallen world.
Yes.
You know, and no one's perfect.
Yeah. I think that's what makes it so hard to have hope for a lot of people. Even for me, a lot of days. There's a lot of days, I'll tell you what, there was some time, I think it was this early past fall, when there was just like, you know, a whole bunch of bad news stories kind of came in all at once.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, like, what are we doing here? But then I'd look at my boss, you know, Evie, who's been working here since 1990.
Mm.
You know, and I'm like, man, she's been through some bust times, I can tell you that.
Right.
And then I look at, you know, the guy I share an office with, Ken, he's been here since 1975.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He just had his 50th anniversary with regional planning this year, last year.
I never thought.
You know, if they've given so much for this community and they've stuck it through, what excuse do I have to, like, mm-hmm. be so such a wimp and give up so easily? Like, like, you know, take a breath,
right.
take a breather, drink some water, you know,
and
you know, like,
refresh yourself.
Right. If you need to take a break, take a break. You
right.
know, we all need Sabbath. We
yes,
all need
we
a
do.
Vacation. But then get back up and just say, okay, what's next?
Right.
You know, you can't fix every problem, but, you know, just the next smallest thing. That's the whole 4-step process. What's the next smallest
right.
thing that
the
we can do
one.
To address the situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you find yourself at now and looking toward the future? What's your next project?
Oh, geez, my next project, honestly, it's a series of projects. You know, I've been saying, like, normally January is kind of a low time to kind of get some, you know, planning and organizing done, but it hasn't been this year. We got several, you know, new developments coming in or applying to come in that a couple just finally got past their final site review with us. They still have some things to tie up with other ends of things, whether mm-hmm. it be some engineering details or some utility issues or whatever. But, you know, from the governmental side, you know, we gave them the final okay, you can go ahead and build these things. And there's still more in the pipeline that have just been
great. That's
booming
good
like
news.
Crazy. Yeah, it'll be good for housing. It'll be good for our tax base. So there's those kinds of things. The city's planning commission is, you know, really really active and really wants to try to kind of go through the zoning code with a fine tooth comb and say, you know, is this thing that was written in 1970 still serving us well? And if not, how can we change it? You know, and there's a lot of cities are going through complete rewrites and hiring outside consulting firms and everything like that. And, you know, even though it was written in the 70s and they were dealing with a whole different set of perceived issues and whatnot, you know, there's still some good stuff in there. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I don't want someone from out of town to come in and just, you know, slap down the, you know, photocopy of the exact same thing they gave to the last 75 cities. Because there's a lot of unique things in our city with, you know, whether it's our downtown or like smaller residential parcels.
Right.
Or, you know what I'm talking
about.
Yes,
I do.
To be able to, you know, there's a lot of cities that have lots that they've made it illegal to build things on.
Really?
Yeah, because you have these minimum lot sizes, minimum lot standards, and if these lots were built before these standards existed, and someone acquires them, you know, and they, you know, we have within our code ways to still build on those older legacy lots. Mm-hmm, a lot of cities have, you know, the term unbuildable lot is a very common term in a lot of places, and I'm glad we don't, you know, really use that term here, because we've realized that we need to be able to accommodate, you know, what exists on the ground, not what exists in some ideal, you know, planning school ivory tower.
Right. Absolutely. That's good. Progress is always great, you know.
It is, and it really takes just the biggest progress is often from the smallest players.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. Well, that's good. I know you have things that you want to accomplish for this year, because this year is still new.
Yeah.
We just...
Doesn't feel like
it. On the other side of February, the middle of February, we're just on the other side, you know. And
absolutely,
there's so much to do, and time is flying.
It is. It is.
It's going so fast.
Yeah, this time last year, I was taking classes out at OSUM, and I decided for this semester, at least, I needed to hit pause to just kind of, you know, refocus on things going on in the community.
Right.
Both with work and tangential to it. But it just doesn't stop. And in some ways, we've become victims of our own success, that people are coming in like, hey, I have this idea. And like, okay, here's another one. But the thing is, you can't just dismiss them because those are the ones. I mean, granted, you know, only what, 10% of them are going to amount to anything. But you don't know which one is the 10.
You don't know.
You don't know which one out of the 10 is the one that's going to become something.
Right.
And so you got to, and like, I'll tell you, it's the darndest thing. We get people coming in, these big national developers that, oh, we're going to do this and that. And then, you know, they submit maybe a sketch plan and then we never hear from them again.
Disappear.
Yeah. But sometimes these locals that, you know, have, you know, no idea how to do sophisticated planning stuff.
Right.
They're like, well, I just want to build a this, or I want to, revitalize that rehabilitate, you know, a house or two. All right, well, here's how you do it, and here's a list of some inspectors that can help you, and here's a list of, you know, and doggone if they aren't the ones that are actually get projects across the finish line,
right?
More
right.
than these, you know, big, you know,
right.
large scale developers, that, you know, just kind of come in
with
a plan and
right.
then somehow along the line figure, well, it's not going to pencil out, or I can make more money somewhere else. You know, so, you know, don't, we try not to discount anyone that has, you know, a plan or a vision, that has even the, you know, just a modicum of momentum.
Yes, yes.
Because you just never know who's going to make it.
I get that, yeah. And I see the progress of that, or not so much progress on that front, because, you know, housing is a problem.
You notice that too.
Yes, it is. And affordability is a problem, even if you have all these new developments. Who can afford them?
I know. I was talking to my wife this morning, like, hey, do you remember back when we first got married, when, like, spending $500 on groceries in a month was like
a month,
death sentence
yeah.
for our budget, you know, and now it's just kind of like, man, those were the good old days.
Yes, it was,
oh,
wasn't
man.
It? Yeah, because I just went to the store, I think, a couple of days ago.
Oh, no, don't tell me. No, I don't want to hear no bad news. Don't be bringing that in here, Linda.
I thought, wow, three little pieces of watermelon, you know, like this big, like $8. Are you kidding me?
Box of cereal for $6.
Oh, my. Like,
it ain't worth, you know, that ain't $6 worth of flavor.
Oh,
I don't care.
Oh, my gosh. And it hits us in the right place. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to pay it, aren't you?
Right.
You're going to pay it. What's
you
the alternative?
Eat,
yeah,
right?
You got to eat. And like, you go, and sometimes I'm going to be like, I'm not buying that. And then the next time I go to the store, I'm not buying that. And then I'm like staring at my favorite box of cereal that keeps on going up in price. Like, doggone it, I'm going to buy it.
I know.
I mean, number.
We're all there. I think we're all there. It hurts, but it's like eventually you're going to have to buy it.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
And that's one of the big things. The place where we are seeing progress is in people that are rehabbing and flipping older houses. Like for a lot of new housing projects, especially single family.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the minimum price to just make a modicum of profit is $300,000.
Yeah.
And that's with a razor thin margin, and probably with some, you know, help on the government with some of the streets or sewers or something like that.
Right, right.
And it's not like, you know, we've done some creative financing for, you know, some larger financing for larger industrial projects because, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to be bringing a large tax base and jobs to the area and that sort of thing.
Right.
But now people are wanting it for residential, and it's. And the problem is, you know, you already, from a just pure, you know, cold-hearted capitalist perspective, if you're the government, you always lose money on residential.
I'm sure.
It always costs more to serve those properties than you're getting in tax revenue, whether it's property taxes, income taxes, whatever.
Right.
And that's just the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And every city makes it up on, and county makes it up on the commercial and industrial end. But now you have these residential developers are saying that we can't make a new subdivision pencil without help.
Okay.
And if we do, it's going to, you know, at best be $300,000 per house. And so it's like, well,
that's a lot of money,
no,
though.
Yeah, so we need to be looking at some, like, medium density, like duplex, triplex, small apartments.
Yeah.
And we need to maybe thinking about how to make some of those things into fee simple things. Like, even if you're sharing a wall with someone, you still can own your own lot.
Oh, that'd be great.
And get a traditional financing for it.
Yeah.
Through a bank or whatever. And then, you know, we need to be, and like I said, the place where we've been seeing the success are these people that are willing to just, you know, find a house and go to town and partner with, like, you know, I see these kind of 1-2 punches where it's like a contractor and a realtor kind of team up together.
Right, right.
And that seems to be like, you know, kind of the real place where the magic happens. Because then if you're already dealing with a structure, and if you're, you know, on an existing neighborhood where the street, sewers, and sidewalks are already in place, and you're, you know, like, you can pencil it out to become like 115, 125 per square foot, maybe.
Right,
you know,
right.
But even that's like, you know, outrageous compared to six years ago.
Yeah, it is.
But that's just the world.
And
we
there's
live
no
in.
Way around that anymore. I mean, that's the norm. It's going to be the norm.
Right, but you know, we've got so many groups that are coming together. You know, in fact, just later today, the Housing Coalition leadership team is going to be meeting, and they're constantly working together to. And each individual person, each individual site, each individual house, it presents its own unique sets of opportunities and circumstances.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And so, just sorting through each of those, like, is this going to be a tear down or a rebuild or a remodel? Is this going to be, you know. Is this going to work for this family, or we have to find a different family to work for this and another thing for that family?
Like, right.
All these sorts of things that, but through all of these different nonprofits and government agencies and just interested individuals, we've been able to kind of cobble some things together. Like Habitat is really good at, I mean, they've obviously been good at building homes, but they're getting into the rehab game now too. Marion Matters has been able to kind of pair with the programs. We kind of create this pipeline towards home ownership for people between their programs and Habitat's programs. And then, you know, we can kind of come in with some tax abatement on some rehabilitation or new builds through the city that help projects pencil out either for the homeowner or for, you know, there's even times some things that we've been able to do on the rental level for people. And so that's been...
And what does the average home rent for in Marion?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Average... For if you wanted to rent a single family house, if I had to guess, it's definitely more than 1,000. It's probably around 1,500. But of course, you know, location, size, everything, big difference. I know a friend of mine was, you know, just fixed up a house in Chateau Ridge that he wants to rent for 2,000. That's his. You know, that's.
But you would expect that in that area.
Sure, and I see you know some places. You don't see any much under 1,200, I think.
I'm sure.
And that would be, you know, but I don't know. I don't want to get into that. I'm not a real estate person. I try to keep an eye on those things. But
it's not like it used to be. We do know that because everything is cost more money. Wood costs more money. Your tools cost more money. You know, even the people you have working, it costs more money. So
and it's frustrating when your rent goes up. And some I'm sure some people and institutions are trying to squeeze renters for all they're worth. And I'm also sure that some landlords are seeing their taxes go up, are seeing maintenance bills go up, are watching, you know, the aging of their housing stock and thinking like, man, I'm going to have to put a new roof on that thing pretty darn soon. And that's going to cost a lot more than I penciled it for back when I first, you know, had this, you know, lease or whatever. And it's, you know, it's, you know, and just, you know, I know if you're if you own a home, like, good night. We just this week, we had our water lateral break, flooding our whole front yard.
Really?
Yep, yep. And then it got into our floor ventilation ducts, and so, and then we had our garage door break. Just all in all in the span of
when
a few
it
days.
Rained, it pours,
oh my
right?
gosh, I'm just kinda like, oh, and by the way, time to pay our taxes too. I'm just like, no, like just can I catch a break?
But no.
It's yeah, the cost
for
of,
a moment, I guess.
Right. It's something we're all dealing with.
Yes, we are. Because things happen, you know, out of your control.
Right.
So I know you're what do you think about our water situation?
I try not to. I still drink it.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I grew up on well water, and I, you
know. Oh, you have different type of water, though. Well water, that's
when I was a kid. When I was a kid.
Okay, when you're a kid.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I grew up on well water. And
so it was a different taste in city
Right. I remember, you know, when I was a kid going over, like, you know, neighbors down the street were on city water, and I would, you know, like, why does your water taste so different? You know, like chemicals or something. I thought it tasted like chemicals back then.
Did you? Okay.
So, you know, it's like, I look at what they're putting out. I looked up the whatever the thing they're saying is causing the smell, and Wikipedia says it's not harmful at all. I'm like, well, all right. I remember working at a Boy Scout camp up near Findlay, and they and their wells, you know, beyond just, you know, normal well, it was the sulfur water.
Oh.
Like you had to plug your nose to drink the water. That's what I did. I worked up there for you know 6 or 8 weeks for summer camp.
Right.
And I just plugged my nose every time I had
water,
to take it.
Right.
Eventually, I got used to it. So I mean, I don't know. And I saw them flushing fire hydrants yesterday.
I did too.
Maybe now that it's not frozen, they can do more of that. I don't know. I'm just speculating at this point. And I know, but I do know that you know the mayor has said that it's a primary concern for him, and that the city engineering is asking questions, and they've asked the Ohio EPA to like kind of be like just help out with some things, get a neutral third party to just say, you know, is this what's going on?
Right.
So I as much as it's a pain in the butt, I still have confidence in the systems that be. And like I said, I'm still drinking it. So
maybe
if I grow a third eyeball, I'll let you know.
Okay. Please do.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I'm not drinking it right now.
You're not?
Right?
Yeah. No, the first time when it happened, I went to bottled water. And then after that, I didn't even really notice it that much. My wife notices it. I don't really notice it that much.
Right.
But I know like some restaurants have just said, we're not serving, you know, tap. We're serving canned soda and bottled water. Like, That's rough.
I
when you're already working on thin margins and trying to pencil out your business.
I know that could be a cramp for businesses, you know, right. Like eat-in restaurants and stuff, you know. Do you want our water? They let you know it may not taste the same. Do you still want it? You like, and you have the option to say yes or no, you know. So, hey, that's where we are. We're going to hopefully move on from that. I do want to ask you about the homeless situation, though.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any future hope of new constructions or that you
may
know of?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're waiting on it right now. We're waiting on word. They're beyond releasing the results, but we applied for a flex grant to get an HVAC for the Leap-In building, the old Marion Star building.
Yeah.
It was a competitive grant. I don't want to count my chickens before they're hatched, but I mean that thing was such a well written grant and had like a million letters of support. I mean, everyone and their brother
mm-hmm.
has been involved in the Leap-In project at some point or another. I mean,
right.
It seems like every church has been over, you know, helping drywall, or every agency has you know, like donated or even like received help from stuff going on over there, sent or referred to their clientele there for the free store or whatever. And I will be shocked if we don't win that grant. I don't want to count my chickens before they're
right.
Hatched.
Well, we're going to pray.
But that's
we're
the last
win
thing,
it.
And it's
yes.
a big lift. I mean, the HVAC, it's got to be like, I think it's got to be like rooftop. It's like over $100,000 to install mm-hmm. this thing.
Okay.
So it's just like, I mean, they did so much with just donations and volunteer labor. Mm-hmm. Like this last big lift is really kind of beyond the scope of onesies and twosies
right.
coming in. And it's like, so just the whole city was just like, please, like, yes, use our grant use our grant dollars for that. And
right.
so we're still waiting to hear back from that. We should have heard this week, but we haven't yet.
Right.
So hopefully in the next week or two, we'll have a firm answer on whether that's going to happen or not. But I can't remember how many beds they said it's going to be. But that's
close
going
to
be,
100, I
that's
thought.
That's what I remember, too.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be
a big help.
Yeah. And they've been doing it. I mean, again, like, you know, the Hensels, like, they're not professional social workers mm-hmm, necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, they had to like find out from the beginning, well, we have this vision.
Right.
We want to have 100 bed. We want to have a homeless shelter.
It's like, right.
Okay. You and everyone else. Sure. But they just said, what are the regulations? What are mm-hmm. how do we do it the right way? How do we become certified? What do
right.
we need to, and they just volunteer labor, because they both got regular day jobs too,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and just chipping away after, what's it been, 7 years now?
Has it been that long?
8 years. They've been working in that building, you know. At first, like I said, at first it was just kind of a small like donation center,
right,
and
right,
then it was,
right.
And then they opened up the showers, and then they got the Grace Clinics in
right,
there.
Right, right,
you know, that's huge, having them at that location.
Right, that's so
you know,
true.
With a permanent four walls instead of having to be a mobile clinic, like
mm-hmm.
that's great.
It is great.
And man, if we
wow.
can get this HVAC installed, that really is the last big push to get that opened as a homeless shelter. That'll be huge. But that's been something, you know, and again, going back to the Housing Coalition, I can tell you what the historic trend has been. It's you know, it's always like, where are the biggest needs?
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, it's, we got to figure out, you know, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time.
That's true.
We got to pick something to aim at.
Right.
And I think, last decade, the biggest need they said was transitioning populations. Those populations that are transitioning out of incarceration, or now also out of addiction recovery, that
mm-hmm,
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Finding housing that can transition them. So smaller rentals that can, you know, or maybe even some rent to own. So
right.
And so, you know, Goodwill built some things and.
Yeah, that's another large project coming into Marion. Is that Marion County or that's Marion
that's
County.
Actually, it's in the that you're talking
city
out here
limits?
In Barks Road.
Yes,
that's actually inside the city limits.
Okay,
but that's going to be a huge distribution center and offices for Goodwill. It's going to bring jobs. It's going to bring more job training. It's going to be the original plan called for some residential, and then they couldn't pencil it out. But there's still going to be on the site the capability to possibly
right,
have that
right.
in the future. But they're actually also looking at some other stuff around the edge of the city too for
mm-hmm.
for trying to build some more both spaces for their programs and hopefully get additional tax credits for apartments. There's a lot of people competing right now to get low-income housing tax credits.
Yes, I'm sure.
We had three census tracts within the city score really high. One of them's, so we are guaranteed to get at least one project that'll qualify for a 9% low-income tax credit, and then the rest of the projects that don't qualify for that can apply for the lower, I think it's 4.5% tax credit.
Right.
And honestly, we're just kind of, you know, we get, gosh, it felt like all January, people were calling every day saying, I got an idea for a project. I think, I'm sure you do. Like, do you have, do you have your financing? Do you have a site? Do you have, you know, these things? And
sorry, some of them.
Oh, darn kids and your cell phones.
Oh, my God. Some people just don't, you know, they don't, you can't expect other people to remember your schedule.
Sure. So, now that I mentioned it, like, did I put my phone on vibrate now? I'm just not as popular as you.
My phone is at the point, now I have to ask AI to do it. I try to turn it off.
Oh, that's funny.
Then it pops up.
Yeah, whatever
works.
Like
this, see that?
Oh.
What'd you say, vibrate? Putting my phone on vibrate.
Oh, you're funny. That's cool. Hey, if it works... Wow. Yeah, there you go.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Man, next decade, you just think
it. They've taken over my phone, right? They've taken over my phone.
Yeah. but what were we talking about? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like a lot of these developers, it's like, okay, if you don't get that big tax credit, you know, we're still like, you know, keeping your little sketch plan or your little, paper napkin of an idea file somewhere so that it's like, okay, you didn't get the big tax credit, but are you still a viable project? Can we find then local financing, or can we find a local partner or a local, you know, whether it be, you know, landowner or realtor or developer or builder or even like, you know, use some of the other local taxing incentives that we have, you know, it's going to be, what we do is a lot of matchmaking all day, trying to find, you know, people who have projects with, matching with people who have the right resources, and then figure out what we need to do from our own side on the government to get these things across the finish line and to do it in the proper way so that we're not just, you know, cranking out, you know, something that's going to be condemned, you know, like making sure that we're, you know, doing everything the right way.
Of course.
Both by code and by the neighborhood, you know, the neighbors that are already there, that sort of thing, zoning.
Right.
And it can be a process, but, you know, we're kind of, you know, I think Evie's kind of described us as the project Sherpas, you know, we kind of have to just guide people through the mountainous terrain of site development. And it's exciting.
It is exciting, and I'm encouraged that we are moving forward, doing great things
every day.
James Walker, we are out of time. I'm already? So glad you had time to come and share with us, and I'll have to get you back before year's end and see where we are, what things have developed for Marion
Sounds
City
wonderful.
And Marion County.
I look forward to it.
We're so glad that you were able to spend time with us today and share with us, you know, what you're looking forward to, what we can look forward to in our city, because, you know, we're all in this together.
To the Talking
Place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
We